As many of you know, Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol is one of my all-time holiday favorites. It's a story of redemption. And so Michelle and I thought we'd introduce our children to the story this year by showing them Mickey's Christmas Carol. You know, it's not near as scary as the Alistair Sim 1951 version that I so love. It was very natural. They love watching the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and so it seemed like, okay, here's this great story with Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and Pluto and Goofy, right? Like, just let's watch this and see what you think. Well, everything was going well until Scrooge McDuck went home Christmas Eve night and saw his door knocker transform into the ghostly image of his late business partner, Jacob Marley. Forget about the fact that Marley is portrayed by Goofy, and the good folks at Disney tried to keep things very lighthearted. Our children were scared. So scared that we turned off the movie and switched to another one of my all-time holiday favorites, A Charlie Brown Christmas. Regrettably, though, that image of Goofy Jacob Marley was already seared on our children's minds and has led to many a late night since. If only Linus's recitation of Luke 2, verses 8 to 14 in A Charlie Brown Christmas had stuck with our children the same way. When you notice how Linus drops his security blanket when he says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." It becomes one of the most powerful scenes in any Christmas movie ever. The good tidings of great joy that came with the announcement of Jesus' birth was all that Linus needed to guard his heart and against fear and thereby permit him to drop his security blanket. Unlike my children, chances are you are probably not plagued by mental images of Goofy Jacob Marley. But that being said, we are a fearful people, are we not? We fear spiders. We fear mice. We fear crowds. We fear heights. We fear fire. We fear dark. We fear dogs and their bark. We fear silence, we fear rain, we fear loneliness, we fear pain. We can fear just about anything. And what's more, we can latch on to just about anything to serve as our security blanket in this world. Money, high-tech security systems, comfort foods, you name it. But all these things can and do fail us routinely. Which is why we need to hear again the good tidings of great joy that were spoken that first Christmas night. If you haven't done so already, I invite you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 2. We are going to look at verses 1 to 21 this morning. If you're using one of the Bibles from the pew rack in front of you, you'll be able to find our text on page 857. That's Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it was told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Did you hear the good news of great joy that enabled Linus to drop his security blanket? What was it? "For unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That right there ought to be enough for you to drop any security blanket you might have. That is enough to guard your heart against any fear. But God is not content to give you just enough to guard your heart against fear. He gives you more than enough. Because that one angel was joined with by a multitude of the heavenly host, who then added to what was said, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." Peace is the absence of fear. Peace of heart. Peace of mind. And God sent Jesus so that you and I might know that peace. How can we know that peace? Well, let's look again at the angelic announcement and find out. First, we ought not to fear because a Savior has been born to us. That word Savior says a lot, doesn't it? It suggests first that we need to be saved. That there's something about our condition that is not good. Beyond that, it suggests that we cannot save ourselves. If we could, we wouldn't need a Savior. So we're in a mess, and we can't do anything about it. What is that mess? Well, take your pick. What do you fear? Jesus came to save you from dogs and darkness and spiders and mice, and from fearing these things. But let me tell you, even if he saves you from all of that, there is still something deeper, a greater mess that may not even be on your radar, and that is sin. According to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the angel of the Lord who appeared to Joseph in a dream said this, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That preeminently is what Jesus comes to save us from. Yes, he can save us from a host of other fears. But first and foremost, he comes to save us from our sins. How about that? Do not fear to take Mary as your wife. She will bear a son and he will save his people from their sins. The greatest problem that you, I, or anyone else in the world has is that we are sinners. We've known the good we ought to have done and then we've failed to do it. That is the biblical definition of sin. James 4 verse 17. And so God has placed a sentence of death upon us. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. But it goes on to say that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus is our Savior. He's the one who saves us from our sins. In fact, that's what his name means. Jesus means the Lord saves. And in saving us from our sins, Jesus saves us from fear. Perhaps most notably, fear of death. Listen to what the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he, that is Christ, likewise partook of the same things." Christ became flesh and blood so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. God sent Jesus to rescue you from all fear, including the fear of death. The strength of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is anyone here afraid to die? If you are, then hear this good news. God partook of flesh and blood in the person of Jesus so that he might be able to die in your place so that you might be rescued from the fear of death and know instead the promise of everlasting life. Death, for the believer in Jesus Christ, is transformed. Instead of being the gateway to everlasting torment or even just the end of existence, death for the believer is the gateway to everlasting life in heaven with God, a place where there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. So fear not. In Jesus, a Savior has been born to you. A Savior who can rescue you from sin, from death, and from hell. But that's only part of the angel's message, isn't it? "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." We ought not to fear because this Savior that has been born to us is Christ the Lord. Christ, as many of you know, is a Greek word meaning anointed one. In the Old Testament, individuals were set up aside by God as prophets, as priests, and as kings by anointing. one of God's representatives would come up to him and pour oil over his head as a sign that God had chosen this person to serve him. This is why Psalm 133 reads as it does, telling us that the oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron is good and pleasant. If that didn't talk about anointing, that would just be disgusting. But it's a good thing to know that God has marked out individuals to stand in between Him and us as priests, or to herald His good news as prophets, or to rule over His people in righteousness as a good godly king was supposed to do. This was good news. And so the oil running down the beard, that was a good sign. God has chosen this man for an important task. Now here, the shepherds are told that unto them was born that day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ. Not a Christ, not just another anointed one, but the Christ. So plenteously anointed is Christ, Spurgeon says, that He is the anointed. In a threefold sense, as prophet to preach the gospel with power, as priest to offer sacrifice, as king to rule and reign. In each of these, He is preeminent. He is such a teacher, priest, and ruler as was never seen before. In Him was a rare conjunction of glorious offices, for never did prophet, priest, and king meet in one person before among the sons of men, nor shall it ever be so again. As Spurgeon goes on to say, our Lord was not an amateur Savior who came down from heaven upon an unauthorized mission, but He was chosen, ordained, and anointed of God. He was placed in these three roles as the perfect prophet, the perfect priest, and the perfect king by God. And so Spurgeon says it is to us then no mean consolation that God has Himself authorized Christ to save. There can be no fear of a jar between the mediator and the judge. Right? If God has chosen this one to come and to be our Savior, to be our prophet, our priest, and our king, then we don't need to worry, will God accept the sacrifice that this priest makes? Will God accept Jesus as my Savior? Yes, He will! God anointed Him for that task. And so fear not, believer. The Savior that has been born to you is Christ. He is Christ the Lord. Now there are many ways we can understand this word Lord. Lord can mean master, as it does in the movie title, Lord of the Rings. Or more to the point, it can mean Jehovah or Yahweh, as in the name of God. Throughout the Old Testament, the English word Lord in all capital letters stands in place of the divine name. The Greeks did the same thing in their translation of the Old Testament, using the word Kurios or Lord for the divine name Yahweh. And in the New Testament, this title Kurios is used of Jesus. He is Lord. He is Jehovah. We cannot doubt this, Spurgeon says, because it is the same word used twice in the ninth verse. And in the ninth verse, none can question it belongs to Jehovah. And an angel of Kurios appeared to them. And the glory of Kurios shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel of Kurios said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ, Kurios. You can't read verse 11, Kurios, without having verse 9, Kurios, still ringing in your ears. If that's not enough, in the 23rd verse we read, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Kurios. All of these surrounding uses point to God. And this is good news for us. Again, Spurgeon says, suppose an angel had to be our Savior. He would not have been able to bear the load of my sin or yours. If anything less than God had been set up as the ground of our salvation, it might have been found too frail a foundation. But if he who undertakes to save us is none other than the infinite and the almighty, then the load of our guilt can be carried upon such shoulders. The stupendous labor of our salvation can be achieved by such a worker, and that with ease. For all things are possible with God, and he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. So fear not. In Jesus, a Savior has been born to you, and this Savior is both Lord and Christ. Finally, fear not. This Savior will bring peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Now, if you grew up as I did with the King James Version, you're used to hearing peace on earth, goodwill toward men. In the Greek language, the difference between peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and peace on earth among those with whom he is pleased is the difference of only one letter, actually, if you can imagine that. Literally, the text reads either peace on earth, goodwill toward men, or peace on earth toward men of goodwill, or men of good pleasure. The Greek word being eudokia or eudokios, depending on whether there is a sigma present or not. In either case, eudokia, in whatever form we might find it, is a theologically significant word. Twice Paul uses it in the opening chapter of Ephesians to speak of God's purpose in election. In Ephesians 1 and verse 5, he says that God predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure, the eudokion of his will. Later in verse 9, Paul notes how God is making known to us the mystery of his will, again, according to his good pleasure, his eudokion. Eudokia, then, is a word that speaks of election. And so, regardless of what text base we think superior, whether there should be a sigma or not, our translation ought to reflect something of this idea of election. And I think the NIV hits a home run when they translate, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. God has chosen to set his favor upon those who come to faith in Christ. To quote J. Vernon McGee, the angels did not make the asinine statement that many make today, which goes, let us have peace, peace, peace. My friend, there is no peace, saith the Lord unto the wicked. Isaiah 48, verse 22. We live in a day when we need to beat our plowshares into swords, not the other way around. We live in a wicked world. We live in a Satan-dominated world, and therefore there is no peace. There is, however, peace to men of God's goodwill. If you are one of those who has come to Christ and has taken him as Savior, you can know this peace of God. This isn't peace on earth in terms of a ceasing of warfare on earth. This is peace on earth in the hearts of men and women who know what it is to have Christ as Savior and Lord. This is absence of fear. And we can speak of it both in terms of peace with God and the peace of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul tells us that since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, we can have peace with God. What an incredible thought. That means that God's wrath is removed from us. No longer does it hang over our heads like the blade of a guillotine. Why? Because we've been justified by faith. Faith in Jesus. Remember, God the Son came into the world with a very specific purpose in mind. He came to die. He came to live the sinless life we could not, and then die on the cross as a substitute for everyone who would trust in Him. 3 days later, He rose again from the grave, demonstrating His victory over sin, over death, and over hell. And now the invitation is open. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You will have peace with God. He will no longer be your enemy. Not only will you have peace with God, but as Paul notes in that text we read this morning on the bulletin cover, you will have the peace of God. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice again that this peace comes in Christ Jesus. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have the peace of God that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to have this peace? Well, it means that God ministers to your heart and He ministers to your mind in such a way that He removes anxiety and fear. Right? That's how this text started. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds against that anxiety we just spoke of. I think of Francis Havergal's hymn, "Like a River Glorious." You know the hymn, don't you? "Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect, yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect, yet it groweth deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised perfect peace and rest." Do you have that kind of peace this Christmas? Or is your heart still very much filled with fear? If you would have to confess that your heart is filled with fear, then listen again to the announcement that the angel gave to the shepherds. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Yes, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Let's pray.